Hi, I'm Anna Harris, and this is the Defined by God podcast, a support resource for Christians looking for hope and healing from trauma and adversity. Join us as we interview experts, hear stories of healing from real people, and discuss and define common types of trauma, how it impacts us, and the latest and best strategies for healing and thriving. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited to introduce you to my guest today. Her name is Shannon Smith, and she and her husband have a ministry called Project 319 that she's going to tell you about. But she also has some amazing stories of how she even became a Christian and how she met the Father. So I'm really looking forward to sharing those stories with you today. I think it's going to really bless you and encourage you. And just a quick note, you can find our podcast on definedbygod.com /episode 22 for this one. Okay, now I'm going to bring on Shannon. Hi, Shannon.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Thanks so much for coming on today. I'm excited for my listeners and viewers to be able to hear your story. I had so much fun hearing it a while back. But first, tell us, I know you and your husband have a ministry that's really exciting. I love what you're doing with it. So tell people about it and what it's called.
So our ministry is called Project 319. And it's a ministry that my husband and I just started probably about a year ago. Mm-hmm. It actually was in our hearts, it probably started about 4 or 5 years ago, but officially it started about a year ago. And it's a ministry that really, the heart of it is based on storytelling. Mm. And my husband he does film, he's a videographer, and the beauty of it is that the heart of this ministry is that we want to share stories of how the Father's love has touched people's hearts. Mm. We also have a heart for missions, and we do some mission work, but the main part of it is to do storytelling in different types of format, through documentary, through teaching, through all kinds of ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that, because storytelling is such a beautiful way to share someone's story, mm-hmm. and to share the heart of the Father also.
Right, right.
So yeah. That's great. I'm so excited to just see, you know, what you're going to be doing with that.
Yes.
So tell us, I've heard a little bit of your story and it was really mm-hmm. fun. So tell us your background and how you became a Christian.
So I did not become a Christian until my late 20s. I was, I grew up, I had a few moments in my childhood where I can recall attending a church, but it was more like during the holidays, whether it was Easter or some kind of big event, but the memory is very faint. And when I was in my late 20s, my husband and I had just gotten married. And he was on a trip to Phoenix, Arizona, and he invited me to come and see him. And so on my trip out to Phoenix, I was in Atlanta Airport, and I was actually deciding if I wanted to watch that movie, The Bucket List, on my next flight to Phoenix mm-hmm. or read a book. And for some reason, probably I believe I just didn't have enough cash on me, so I decided just to go grab a book in between flights. So I was walking through the terminal and I passed by this bookstore, and on the front of one of the display stands, it said best selling. And on the front, it said 316. And I just saw it real quick and it said best selling. And in that moment, I thought it was like some kind of sci-fi book or some kind of some kind of interesting, you know, story about aliens or something. I had no clue. And so I grabbed it real quick and I went and paid for it. And I went and got on the next flight, and I sat down and I look at the book, and at the bottom it says Max Licato. And then I looked at the back of the book and I started to see, and obviously 3:16 is 3:16, and it was John 3:16.
Yeah.
And so I was just sitting on the airplane and I started to read it. And I think the best way that I can describe that moment is it felt like everyone on the plane disappeared. And I was sitting there, and I honestly just felt like Jesus was walking down the aisle on the plane.
Wow.
And he came and sat next to me.
Mm.
And I had never, you know, I had no, you know, I was in my late 20s and I had no, I didn't even know what the Gospels were. I didn't know what books were in the Gospels. I knew nothing.
Yeah. So you had no grid for anything like this at all.
I mean, I knew there was a Jesus, you know, of course there was, you know, all, you know, when you would go out with your friends, there was the inside jokes on Christians and churches and all the things.
Yeah.
And that's all I knew.
Wow.
And so then in that moment, you know, in that book, what I loved about Max Licato is he just, first of all, it was so simple. I mean, it was laid out like a child could read it. You know, and I was a little child reading it, you know, and so, but as I read it, I could just feel my heart open up, and it was the whole story. It's like, you know, it was the doorway, it was coming in. And I know in that moment in my heart, I asked him to come into it. And I just started to cry. I mean, it wasn't a small little tear coming down from the side of my eye. It was just sobbing. Everything in me knew that I wasn't alone.
Wow.
Right. And that there was someone who had always been with me since the very beginning. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
And wow. then, so I was that moment, that's how I got saved, was just reading that book. And so once I got off the plane, Jody also was not a Christian and had no grid. I mean, I think he had been to church more than I had, just visiting with friends or a girlfriend or something. And when I got off the plane, he said, you know, you came running off that plane and the look in your face. And I was just like, you will not believe this. And so we just went back to our hotel room and I started to share, you know, the little bit that I understood. Like, you know, there was this father who had a son who loved me.
Wow.
And they wanted me to be a part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And so I shared that simple gospel with Jody and he opened his heart.
Wow.
And we just, that Sunday, it was so funny because we got invited to this church service in Phoenix. And that day he preached on 3:16.
Wow. Amazing.
And, I know. And at the end, you know, of course we went up to the front because we knew, but I also know that it was on that airplane that it originally, you know, happened.
Yeah.
And for Jody, it was in that hotel room. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, so a real heart change.
Thing. Oh, yes.
Just through reading this sci-fi book.
Yes.
That you thought you were getting.
Yes.
So that's so good. Isn't that amazing?
Like, yeah, it was just.
Yeah. And also I love the simplicity of the gospel that touched your heart, you know, because we can make it things so very complicated. And what about this? And what about this? But really, no, it's just the love of God, you know,
right.
Jesus, you know, ask what's in your heart. That's really all you need, isn't it?
Yes. And you know what I love now, when I look back at that verse, John 3:16, you know, I really don't like to say, I mean, obviously when I read something, sometimes it's my favorite in the moment, you know, but I can look at that verse, you know, and I just think, wow, like just the foundation and the love behind it and the fact that that was it, you know?
Yeah. So in case maybe someone's listening that hasn't had that verse, you know, if you grow up in church, it's one that you memorize in Sunday school, but not everybody has that grid. And so it's, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him will have everlasting life. That's how I memorized it. You might have memorized a different version.
Nope.
But isn't that beautiful? So, okay. So you became a Christian at that point, and that changed your life, I would imagine.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah. Like, so tell us about a little bit of that and then how you met the Father.
So Jody and I, we were saved. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't know what to do. So, what do we do now? You know, and so we definitely started watching church online at home with our kids because we're a blended family. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we would hear things online, like Joel Osteen, we would watch him. Mm-hmm. And he would say things about tithing. So, you know, for us, that, you know, that was so big. Like, what do we do with that? So literally every payday, Jody and I would go to the ATM and we take out, you know, 10% or whatever we felt like. We would drive around town looking for homeless people.
Oh, wow.
And we would just give what we had because, you know, this is what they were saying. And we just did that. And it was so, we look back and it was, we have so many stories. I think could be a whole podcast just on the stories of this, but we had just these amazing encounters and just seeing just what love is really about, you know, and that was our heart. We were giving from our heart. So probably the first year we weren't quite sure what to do. We just did the best we could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we definitely, connected with a local church.
Mm-hmm.
And then, probably I would say maybe 4 or 5 years later, and in the church that we were in, they started to talk about the Father's love, and there was different individuals that would come and talk about it. And I know in those moments, like Peter Jackson would come and speak at our church. And, there were moments that I know that my heart was opening. Definitely. I know that his love was pouring into my heart and something was changing, you know, obviously in my relationships with my kids, how I was parenting, with my marriage, you know, our marriage just completely got changed. And so, but then we had Father Heart Ministries come into our church. I believe it was 2015.
Mm-hmm.
They came, and it was maybe, I would say 5 years after we had gotten saved.
Uh-huh.
And so Father Heart Ministries came into our church and did a school on the Father's love, which is called an A school.
Uh-huh.
So they came in and I can remember the moment. It was almost like, it's like that arrow going into your heart. I can remember the moment where I knew that I was his daughter and he was my father. And he had always been my father.
Yeah. And just so people can kind of understand, so you have become a Christian because you met Jesus and you asked him into your heart, which is, of course, amazing and life transforming. But then another, I don't want to say step, but just another relationship that is available to us is the Father. We can also have relationship with our Heavenly Father, and he's our daddy. So that was another major life transformation for you, right?
Oh, definitely. Completely. You know, and it's different when you hear it, you know, you're hearing something and you're hearing something, but when your heart opens up and you know that, like, he's the one, he's your father, he's always been there. And this whole time, and I think there was, even in that moment, I realized why Jesus came to introduce me to his father, why on that airplane, he wanted me to know that they, you know, and on the airplane, it was just him. I knew he was there, but what he was trying to show me was that they were there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So then, so you really got a revelation in your heart that God is your father and you're his daughter.
Yes.
And what was that like? Like, what happened? Was there a process with it? What happened in your heart?
Well, it was, you know, I love one of the things that James Jordan, you know, talks about, how I think it's when he got saved, it was like he could see in color, or, you know, you can see something differently. For me, I felt like I was, and in the best way I can explain it, the things that started to change or happen and change is it felt like almost like my floor that I was standing on or the floor that I was walking on was love itself, or it was compassion. Like I was seeing something different. I was seeing something I could not see before, or when I was around relationships with my parents, with my family, with my kids, you know, the things that bothered me or the things that I was struggling with were not as much a struggle anymore. And so that was some of the huge changes that I started to see.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
And so I saw on your website, one little quote, it was, "What is love doing?" And it just seems like that's sort of what you're doing. You're following love, which is God. God is love. What is love doing? What does that mean to you? Like, why did you have that quote on there?
So Jody and I, before, you know, we had this revelation of the Father's love, we started going to Haiti. And we had been going to Haiti for about 3 or 4 years and doing missions work, doing schools. And then we went to the A school. And I just knew after that experience of knowing that God was my Father, that I really wanted my friends in Haiti to experience that. And so it was probably 2 or 3 years later, we were going down there, and for so long, I had a certain regimen and a way that I would prepare for a missions trip or prepare to go down there, you know, all the list, all the ways, what it needed to look like. And and I realized, you know, and my heart started to become more open. And I remember preparing for this trip, and I was just asking Father, I was like, okay, Father, what are you saying? Like, what are you doing? What's happening, you know, like, instead of me doing it the same repetitive way that I'd always done it, I just felt like there was an invitation that he wanted to show me something different. And so as I asked him, you know, what's going on or what are you thinking? He said, Shannon, I just want you to go. And every time, no matter what, you know, room you're walking into, whether it's a church, whether it's walking down the street or walking into a room, there's one question I want you to ask. And I said, well, what's that? And he said, what is love doing? I want you to ask, what is love doing right here and right now? And it not only gave me direction on that trip to obviously ask the question, but I think it was more for my life, you know? Like living in the moment in those situations and being able to, in that moment, ask, you know, what is love doing right here? So that's like it's a life thing for us.
That's so good. That's like for direction even, that it's just wonderful. So I know we were talking a little bit about what some things that are on your heart currently that you feel like God is showing you. And can you tell people a little bit about that?
Yeah. So really this last year, it was right before the gathering, you know, last summer we went to the gathering for Father Heart Ministries. I would say it was almost a year ago that I think there's different seasons that we go through or different things that happen. But for me, it was really a time of letting go. It was a time of, I would say, like dying to some disappointments. And it was right before we went on that 3-week trip. And I could definitely tell, you can tell when things are changing in your heart, or almost when you, or you can say, you know, you look at your heart and there's some areas that Father wants to come and just sit with you in it. And I knew I wasn't quite sure then what was happening, but I could definitely feel the change. And, you know, as when we were there at the gathering, one of the things that it's so funny when something's happening in your heart and you're not quite sure, and then someone like a speaker or someone's talking and they keep saying a phrase 2 or 3 times. And, it was Denise, or someone else would quote Denise, and they would say, you know, Denise always says, don't waste a good death.
Right. Yeah. So just for people who, for some context, so this was an event called The Gathering mm-hmm. with Father Heart Ministries that Shannon and I were both at, along with maybe 50, 60, something like that mm-hmm. people. And Father Heart Ministries is led by James and Denise Jordan that have just really carry such an amazing mm-hmm. revelation and anointing of the Father Heart. So this was mm-hmm. 3 weeks of just being able to just really soak that in and yeah, let the Father just mm-hmm. do what he wanted to do in our hearts. So, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I feel like even as you say that, it just, I mean, obviously it was a beautiful location. Mm-hmm. It was in near Calgary, Canada. Yes. I mean, the Rocky Mountains were breathtaking. Nature was
beautiful. Retreat center. Yes.
I mean, it was just amazing. Yeah. So beautiful. And what I loved also is what I loved about the gathering is they gave you a space to be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it was perfect timing for my heart to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, you know, my husband was supposed to come with me, and unfortunately, we have a son, or, you know, I've known him since he was 2. Unfortunately, his mom had passed away. So we decided mm-hmm. for Jody to stay home. So right. I went alone,
mm-hmm.
just me, really knowing that Father was going to do something in my heart.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it was interesting because, there was a few teachings that had to do with, you know, dying and letting go,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And like I said, in that moment, I wasn't quite sure what was happening, but now when I look back, I can see what was happening. I know I had a few encounters where Father really came and he was a mother to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just came and mothered me.
Yeah.
He would just come and comfort me at nighttime in a way mm-hmm. that was just so, it actually brought these memories of when I was a little girl and my own mother would come in a certain way and nobody mm-hmm. knew that. And I would have experiences while I was there,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, but it really felt when I left the gathering, it really felt like a part of me needed to die.
Mm.
A part of who I was,
uh-huh.
you know, maybe it wasn't who I really was. I needed to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And Jody and I have a farm. We have a little farm here in South Carolina. And I just started gardening about 3 years ago. And usually the process of gardening is in the fall and the winter months, you kind of clean it up and you prep the soil
mm-hmm.
to garden for the next spring.
Right.
But nothing in me. I mean, if you knew me, and I love gardening, nothing in me wanted to prep anything. I just wanted to leave it alone in that time. And so, so what that looked like, if you were to walk out to our big garden, I still had old plants there remaining in uh-huh. the ground. You know, it was a mess.
Just kind of dead and
just
sitting dead, there.
Uh-huh. Just sitting there. And usually you just clean up and you till the ground and you let it rest and you burn and you do things.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there was something in it. There was like a beauty in it when I would walk out there and see
mm-hmm.
there were things there
uh-huh.
that, you know, it's so funny when God is doing something in your heart, how the things around you can kind of reflect what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can see it. You know, mm-hmm.
for sure. Yep.
Yeah. And so, but anyway, so there was really a time of letting go and grieving the loss of things that didn't need to be anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I realized a few things and I think that I don't want to say I've come fully through it because I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. there's more that he obviously wants to show us.
Right.
But I can, there are a few little things that he showed me that I just wanted to share
mm-hmm.
that have really, when you're in grieving and there's loss and there's something happening,
mm-hmm.
that you can really hold on to. I mean, well, first of all, one of the things that I realized is if there's somebody else that I encounter, I come to that is grieving something or they're dying to something, whether it's dying, you know, a death, an actual person, or maybe mm-hmm. it's just a part of who they are, a part of their life or a mm-hmm. relationship or a marriage.
Yeah. I realized, or a situation.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is, it can be mm-hmm. small or big.
Right.
I'm realizing that there's no time on someone's grieving.
Right. Exactly.
And mm-hmm. I realized in my own situation, in my own experience of going through this, that you really don't know what that other person is experiencing, right?
Right.
You don't know what they're going through, and there's no reason to rush it. And you know, they have the five stages of grief, obviously. You know, those five stages: denial, anger, bargaining, and then they say depression, mm-hmm. and then acceptance. But, you know, they say that you really have to fully walk through those things that are happening, those emotions, those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But they say a lot of times when you get to the sadness before you get to the acceptance, you know, the coming out of it, a lot of people will want to rush through that.
Right. Yeah. Because it's hard.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. Right. Yeah. Right.
I think that's maybe where Denise's thing that she says, never waste a good death.
Right.
That comes in because we can learn so much mm-hmm. as we're going through some of these times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, that phrase of her saying that, I would constantly say to myself,
right.
don't waste a good death.
Yeah.
And I know the end process was that he wanted me to trust him over anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the pain of relationships, the pain of losing someone, all of this thing, the beauty of it, you know, is he wanted me to sit, you know, a lot of times when I would think about something or, you know, like I said, touch a part of my heart that I really didn't want to go there. Mm-hmm. You know, he would be so sweet. Father God would be so sweet and gentle. And he would say things like, you know, let's just sit there for a while.
Mm. Yeah.
Like yeah. you don't have to say anything. You don't have to fix it. Mm-hmm. But I just want you to know that love is loving that. Right.
Yeah.
And I think we're taught sometimes as we become Christians, you know, we're taught to fix it and make it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or look down on it and not see the beauty in it.
Yes.
And I feel like there was a lot of him wanting to show me where, that he had always been in it,
mm-hmm.
that he was always there. He was always loving me, and it was okay just to sit there for a while.
Yeah. That's so good, because it's so important for us to have the freedom to feel what we feel
mm-hmm.
and not feel like we need to deny those or rebuke that, you know, and, right. Cause sometimes we can get into, I call it toxic positivity, where we just want to be happy, happy, happy all the time. Mm.
Right.
But that's not real, you know, it's not reality and it's not healthy either. It's important. Just like you're saying, even with the ground being dormant and all that, those stages are real, you know, and our emotions are real and things that we go through are real, and it's healthier to acknowledge it and process it through with the Father, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
So. That's right. You know, it was interesting because when we were at the gathering, I had a chat with Richard Jones. We were chatting about letting go, and he had spoke about, I can't even remember that sometimes, you know, when God's doing something, I can't remember everything that was being said, but, at the end we had this discussion and, you know, he really talked about the process. You know, you're grieving something, right? And you really, when you really walk through something, right.
Mm-hmm.
And you fully walk through it
mm-hmm.
and you, with all of your heart, And then you let go. And when you let go, there's no reason. There's nothing in you that feels like you have to revisit, right? Revisit that from that perspective. I mean, obviously you'll look back at it later on and it will look different.
Mm-hmm.
But then you let it go. And he says, when you let it go, you let it go.
Mm-hmm. That is so good because I think sometimes we feel rushed to let it go. There's even a really common phrase, let go and let God, you know, and sometimes it's like it's almost like a pressure to let something go before we've processed it, you know? But when we actually walk through it and process it with the Father, and then we choose to let it go, it feels right and it feels complete. So,
It's almost like, you know, sometimes, you know, when I would get upset on the inside or something would be bothering me, the one question that Father would ask me would be, Shannon, why is that bothering you so much? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I can look back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago and I would rant on why it was bothering me, but it was more like he was inviting me to let it go. I just didn't know that. Right.
Right.
And so I to let it go. But then what Richard said was, but then you get to come into the new. When you fully have let it go, you come into the new.
Yeah.
And I think in that moment, he had said something. It was so beautiful in the teaching. He had said that in whatever's happening, comfort is the pathway.
Yes. Yeah.
And I can see over this last year, you know, whenever I would feel, you know, the way that was happening in my heart, and some of this was stuff from a long time ago when I was young, but I would just, you know, immediately just close my eyes and I would look for where he was. And sometimes it would be like 15 to 20 times a day. I was looking for him just to comfort me because I felt so little.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, it just was beautiful on what the process is going on.
Yeah. That's so nice. And then, then when you've processed that and then there's the new, what does that look like for you?
Well, there was two little stories that I was thinking of. The first one was, you know, my mom came to visit me recently when the garden was dead and I had grew these gourds last summer. And I don't know if you know what a gourd is. It's like people make birdhouses out of it. They're huge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you seen those?
Not really. I don't think
so. It's called a gourd. It's probably about like this big.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew them to just make stuff. And I just had left them in the garden. There must have been like 30 or 40 of them.
Uh-huh.
And one day my mom came and she said, you know, Shannon, do you want me to help you get some of your garden cleaned up?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think I'm ready to clean it up.
Mm-hmm. Is she a gardener?
Yes. Uh-huh. And I said, I am ready to clean it up. And so we walked out to the garden. And when I got out there, I was looking at it. And some of it seemed a little overwhelming and big.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, it's okay. She said, I'll help you go through the things that you can keep and the things that are really dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so she just made a pile and she said, I'll do it. And I just kind of stood there and did some stuff and watched her. And she just loved to do it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, after she left the next morning, I was just, I kept thinking about that moment of her coming as a mother and going through the garden.
Wow.
And taking the things that I could use and then taking the things that had died and throwing them out.
Yeah.
And I was like, what, you know, it was such a beautiful picture of who Father is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's amazing. You know, like I'll do it so you can do the new thing.
Yeah.
But, even so this past weekend, and this is where you asked about the new, this past weekend, she came back and she brought my great aunt who's 91 years old, still, oh, wow. Oh, well. Still lives on her own.
Yeah.
Her name is Fran Mott. You know, she's been like a grandmother to me, and she's a gardener her whole mm-hmm. life. But, you know, we were sitting there chatting, and all weekend, you know, with winter flowers, they start to die in the spring, and then you start planting your spring stuff, as you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my winter flowers are starting to brown. And she kept saying, you know, you should probably seed those. And I didn't know what she was talking about. But we were sitting on the porch, and you know, she just looked at me and she said, Shannon, it was just such a beautiful moment. But she said, Shannon, there are some things that need to die.
Mm.
When it's time for them to die, it's done and it's over.
Hmm.
And then she said, but the reason why they die is so the new can come. It can make a space for that new thing to come.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then she said, can I show you how to find the seed? And I said, yes. And she just started to show me to peel away the dead petals, to find the little seed that's in there. And it was quite interesting what she said, because she said, you know, you can either plant it now and it will come next season, or you can decide when you want to plant that new thing
mm-hmm.
and wow. just leave it like it is. And I just feel like that conversation is exactly what it is with the new, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How beautiful. I mean, and what a treasure just to have those people in your life, you know, but also just the picture of the Holy Spirit and,
yes,
you know, because in that wisdom of what needs to die, what can live, having the seeds and the timing, you know, you can decide on the timing. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And it's just, that's, you know, earlier I said, you know, when something's happening in your heart and God's doing something, your world around you will reflect it. It's like a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was a mirror image of what he was doing, not only in my heart, but like in nature or with my family
mm-hmm.
or the compassion from, or the love and compassion from people who were extra. Because they knew you can just, you can see it, you know?
Yeah. What a beautiful picture. I mean, that's great. Yeah. You can get a lot of lessons from that, really.
But yeah.
That's so beautiful. Well, so I think it would be great if we could just pray for people that are listening and watching. And just a quick note for people, we're going to have you and your husband back on for another interview to talk about Project 319 and hear the progress and updates with that. So just be watching for that. But if you could just go ahead and I'm sorry I didn't tell you ahead of time, but I'm sure
it's fine.
No, just go ahead and pray and then I'll follow up behind you. So
yeah, that sounds great. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Father, I just thank you. I just thank you that you're so personal and you're so sweet. And I thank you, Father, that your love is so big and it is simple. And I thank you, Father, that even if there's people right now that are listening to this, that they are in a season of feeling like something's about to die, or maybe they're just in the middle of experiencing the death and it feels, there's all types of feelings, you know, Father. I just thank you, Father, that you are with them right now.
Yes.
And Father, I thank you that in that, in whatever it is, that they can see how much that they can trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And that, Father, that you just want to come and take your time, that you don't mind sitting in it for a while, that you don't mind. There's no rushing with you, Father. And you're more than happy to sit with them in this. And I just thank you, Father, that your love is going to all of those places in their heart. Thank you, Father, that even if they're in the part of the dying that they're at the end of it and they can feel the new life, Father, that even in that, there's no rushing and they don't have to go dig and start something else, that you're more than happy for them to see the openness and the freedom. Yeah, the openness and the freedom of just letting it be for a while, that you're okay with that too. There's no rushing with you. Yeah, Father, I love that there's no rushing with you.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
Yeah, Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your love that is coming to meet everyone who's listening to this exactly where they are right now.
Yes. Yes, and Father, I just thank you for your wisdom that just knows exactly where each one of us is and where we are in our lives and in our hearts and in our situations. I thank you that you are always with us and that you are love. You're not judging us. You're not trying to rush us or anything else that we feel pressure about. You are very comfortable to take your time and sit with us and just bring your comfort and your love. And Father, I just thank you for every person listening that they'll just feel your comfort wrapping around them. Just even as they listen to this, that they will feel your love and feel your comfort. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to put up your website so that people can see it.
Okay.
Let me get to that. And there we go. So people can look that up if they want to know more about you and your ministry. So project319.org. And then also to find the podcast show notes, because we have other information on there. This is episode 22, and you can go to definedbygod.com/episode22 and find the link to Shannon's website and bio and other information like that. So feel free to look it up there. Do you have any last words that you want to say?
To everybody? Thanks for having me. It was great.
Yeah, it was fun. And thank you so much. And thank you to all of our listeners. And I know that, you know, I feel like that even what you were saying was very simple and yet it was at the heart level. And so I hope people can listen to this with their hearts and really let it touch their hearts. And of course you can listen to it more than once. So thanks everybody for listening and watching, and be sure to, you know, go to definedbygod.com and find the episode and also sign up for the email list so that you'll always be informed of when we're having things available for you. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks so much. Thank you so much for joining us for the Defined by God podcast. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at definedbygod.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and email list.